Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me, Julian Joyello, Ben Starr.
Hey, Armand.
Hey there. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're doing our work. And we're doing our work to try to bring you, by year-end, muscles. We want to get you a little stronger. We want to give you a couple of ideas that maybe help you through, get a little further, maybe considerations, ideas. Today we're going to talk about a few different things. One of the things we're going to talk about is how, later on in the program, how your mate and how your home life can affect your success life. And what's the direct effect? There are some recent studies that are fascinating. We're going to pull those out. We're also going to be talking about this attitude of being cool and what it's like to be cool. And we're also going to be going one step beyond that to what we're going to start with, which is about how to be mentally tough. If you want to be mentally tough, and this comes from work by Claire Dorotic Nana. Dorotic Nana.
Yep.
She must have married a Nana, right? Because it's hyphenated. She was Dorotic originally, and then she married a Nana. And she says there are a lot of ways to get stronger. Now, we know if we go into a gymnasium, how do you build your muscles, right? What do? You add resistance. You don't just go in there and you lift the same thing over and over again, right? You've got to put another 5 pounds on that bar and you lift that. You got to push a little further. You've got to go a little further into resistance. Adding more resistance, adversity, or stress is one way. Learning to adapt to a challenge is another way. And adapting dialectical thinking is another. So we've got three different ways of getting stronger. We all know ways of getting stronger by adding more stress. And a lot of us do that in our lives. Did you ever wonder why you take on certain tasks that you don't really need to take on? Sometimes I just think you're working up your muscle. You know, you're trying to see how strong you could be against a resistance, against something. Sometimes I think there are people who are waiting for tragedies to happen so they could volunteer. Because they want to test out their muscles. They want to grow their muscles. So if you want to get stronger, here are 5 things that you should stop doing now, according to Claire Nana, Dorotic Nana.
So the first one, she says, is the important thing to do is to stop offloading responsibility. And taking responsibility for our own behavior, thoughts, and feelings, and letting go of the idea that someone else is going to come along to make things better. Just kind of owning up to our own stuff.
Well, okay, now that always sounds like such a good idea. It sounds so mentally healthy, but nobody does it, right?
Right.
So let's look at the good side of blaming somebody else. I like the idea you blame somebody else for all your problems. And then you feel a little easier, and then every time you get miserable, you say it's their fault. That kind of works. You're just not going to get very strong doing that, but it's one option. Blame somebody.
Yeah, and then another one that Claire mentions is to stop taking things personally. So people that come out stronger after adversity are the ones that don't take it personally, according to Claire.
So how do you not take something personally? If somebody says, hey, you, I don't like you, you not take it personally? Is this just a theory of the mind? Is this stuff that really works? Or is this just one of those things that somebody sat down and said, here's what you do, take responsibility for your own life, right? That's one rule number one. Everybody says that.
I think a lot of what she lists are really solid, strong steps to take to generally be healthier and better off mentally.
So you think, Ben, that people who don't take these steps, by reading this and hearing us today, will take these steps and they'll get off today, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop putting responsibility on others.
I don't necessarily think that. I think it is sort of an experiential thing where these are the kind of lessons that are not kind of transferred by words, but when we've lived the experience, it's easier to learn these things.
You know what may be good about this, and this may be good for New Year resolution? It may be that we can, if we remind ourselves every year, at the end of the year, this year I'm going to lose weight. Finally, you get to the sweet spot where you finally do, it does make a difference. So maybe understanding all these, everybody knows they should not be blaming other people for their lives. But maybe if you say it to yourself over and over again, then the end of the year comes, and here's New Year's Eve, and, you know, the ball falls, and you say, okay, so what's it going to be this year? And you say, well, this year I'm really not going to do it. And whether or not, I don't think it's something that you automatically have to be disciplined to do. It just kicks in.
Yeah.
You stop blaming people.
We just want to make people aware of these ideas, right?
Sure. So these are ideas that you might want to consider that you've already considered before.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've had people tell me to stop taking it personally or stop, you know, letting go of my responsibility and instead take responsibility. And over time, I've become more accustomed to doing those things.
Not because they told you.
Not necessarily because they
told
me.
Because this year you've grown so much. We're just knowing you alone, this year alone, you're not taking as much so personally because you're not taking it personally.
I'm just not.
No, you've grown up because it makes a difference.
Sure.
A third thing she advises, stop forecasting. What does that mean?
Stop trying to predict the future. I used to do this a lot. Whenever I met somebody, I'd say, okay, how am I going to, you know, get what I need from this person? Or what are they going to say next? Or what's this teacher going to do and expect of me? And I try to predict it so I'm ahead of the game. But a lot of the time, it didn't work out because it's usually just too hard to do that for me.
I think a part of this is that we often, at least in my experience, I make things conditional in the future. I make my happiness conditional on if this happens, then I will be happy. You know, if I can get that promotion, then I'll be happy. If I wind up getting this car, then I'll be happy. And that's tied into the sort of living in the future mentality that doesn't really serve me.
Right.
Right.
Also letting go of illusions.
Interesting, though. With that forecasting, what about like a chess master? Somebody who is spending their mind is conditioned to think in the future always 10, 20, 30 moves ahead or however much. I know you're very good at chess,
yeah,
Armand.
Right.
So for somebody like you who's always predicting forward, how does that work?
Well, it's a funny
how
thing.
Do you stop yourself from doing
it? As a chess master, when you're playing, you don't even think that far in advance. It's automatic. It's automatic in my mind. I already know what's going to happen 10 moves ahead. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, it clicks in. I've seen it often enough that I kind of know what's going to happen. Do I predict it? Do I predict that if I do a gambit, if I present you with a sacrifice, what'll happen if you take the bait? Yeah, so I guess thinking it in the future can't be all bad. I mean, how could you ever cross the street?
Right.
You know what I mean? You've got to predict something. So I'm not so sure, but the things that we do predict in the future that do wind up being costly to us, that weaken us, is what you're talking about. And what about the illusions?
Right, well, yeah, I mean, what you were saying, she actually says that the forecasting distracts you from what's happening now. That's the downside.
Okay, that is a big downside.
Yeah. So instead of living right in the moment, you're busy thinking about when you cross the street, instead of actually when you're crossing the street, what's happening.
And how many people right now who are listening wished that they didn't worry about tomorrow, but that they were okay now, that they could just settle in? Like, give you an example, New Year's Eve. There are so many people I know who have been invited to New Year's Eve parties, and they see themselves going to very similar parties where they're going to hang out with friends like they do all year, and they're going to get drunk and stoned and do this thing. There's another part of people I know who are saying, boy, wouldn't it be great if I spent that last day alone? And I had that day alone, and I took that day alone. Now, year after year, you're going to think that idea. And then one year, you're going to take advantage of it. Then one year, it'll work for you. Then one year, you find you'll survive it. But it's over and over again, these things get repeated as ideas, and then one day, they make sense. So letting go of illusions. What are the illusions? More than likely, tough people will tell you there will be good and bad. Thinking life is all good as they know is just a fantasy. that promotes denial. And as Ben once taught us from Terence McKenna, what's the rules of life according to Terence?
Right, nothing is permanent.
Nothing is permanent.
Everything fades.
Good stuff and bad stuff.
Right, not, you know, your fortune or your misfortune.
Armand DeMille here with you with the gang. We're talking about some of the rules to make yourself stronger as presented to us. Stop holding on to the past.
That's a big one.
It's a big one. How could you know, and holding on to the past sounds so accusatory. How could you not hold on to the past? What are you supposed to do? You read this and you say, okay, I'll let it go. What do? Take a piece of your brain and you take your brain and you...
Right, is
you
your memory you're dropping
out? Toss it across
out,
the room, you put a little pen inside your head and you flip out something?
Well, it's the flip side.
How do you let go of the past?
It's the flip side of living in the future that we just spoke about.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we established that it's best to live presently in the moment, and both of those, living in the past or living in the future, take us out of the present moment. So, and this is, I think, the hardest one on this list to overcome, because we've all had experiences, memories that stay with us, that we revisit, either because we're looking for clarity or because they were painful. And I think it's, I don't know, I think it's a big challenge, certainly for me, to let go of the past.
And finally, becoming mentally tough is a hard-earned battle that is not won overnight. You know, it's just something that takes place over time. Each of you are maturing. Now, if you have been a fan of The Positive Mind, if you've been a listener to The Positive Mind over the last year, you have grown. I guarantee you, unless you're somebody who hates us, who listens just to hate us, which some people do. You know, I know people who listen to Gary Null just to hate him. And it's like, you know, you wonder why they do that. Why do you, if you hate me, why do you listen? Because in a way it gives you something to fight. It gives you an enemy. He says, look at that bad person out there. It's like I used to watch George Bush speak, right? And then I'd growl, I'd grit my teeth, you know, look at that guy. It's almost like it was an exercise. What did I expect him to do? Come on and be nice? You know, no.
Suddenly change your mind about him after years? I mean, it's probably not going to happen.
Right. What's going to happen? Right. So sometimes people listen to even this program just with the desire to strengthen their muscles so they could have something to hate. And all right, if you feel weak and you need something to hate, you may as well hate The Positive Mind. But for the rest of you who don't use The Positive Mind for that, who use The Positive Mind as something to kind of learn about, as many of the letters we got this year, you've grown this year. You couldn't have grown if you have listened to this program.
We got a lot of amazing letters this year.
Yeah, we did.
Big thanks to all the listeners who wrote in, because there were just some amazing notes from all around the world.
Yeah. And so you grow just by information, by learning about it, by learning to be decent with people. So this is the end of one particular year that we're coming to, but it's also a time when you have grown. It's not that you have to make some kind of a rule to grow. You have grown. You've done it. You just got to let the good stuff set in. And what's going to happen is next year, you're going to make better choices. And you automatically make better choices because you are... You've had the history of knowing the way it works in the past. Oh, I've been with bad boys before. I know what happens with bad boys. Oh, I know what happens with that kind of thing. I know what happens with dependent people. I know the way I am with that kind of person.
I think it can be very hard to see our own growth because there's no way to be objective about one's own self. So, you know, we live in our bodies. We live in our heads. We don't have the perspective that others have of us. And I had a conversation with my dad not too long ago, telling him that I was worried that I had stopped growing in a way. And he told me from his perspective how he had seen me grow over the last year or two. And it was just amazing to hear it from his perspective, because that's not something that I'm not able to view myself in the third person.
Well, this is very good. I wonder if people would be able to do this, Ben. View yourself in the third person. Well, maybe I'll start. Let me try it. How have I grown over the last year? Over the last year, the way I've grown. Boy, it's a tough one.
It's hard.
It is, because everything's so incremental. You're not totally aware of the big changes. I feel like in myself, I look in the mirror every day, I see myself, and I don't really notice the difference between 2 months
sure.
or 6 months. Sure,
but someone who didn't see you throughout that time
right.
span now comes back and sees you, and they see how you've changed.
Well, yeah, but if you go past, like with me, I had some nice obvious physical changes where I got better, but that's beyond that. Where have I grown emotionally? I, Armand DeMille, what have I done over the last year? And I think over the last year, I've become more accepting of people's limitations than I was in the past. I used to say I can only be with people who are, you know, of the highest level. And now I don't find that to be true. Now I could be with just about anybody because their level is the highest level, wherever they are. So I think that's the way that I've grown. How do you think you've grown, Ben? What do you think has changed in you? You could take a second because I know you got you on the spot. And what about you, Julian? If you think about where do you think you've personally grown over the last year? And let's ask the audience, too. Maybe 212-957-2729. That maybe you could call in and tell us where you think you have personally grown. What have you been able to been less angry, been less what, been more what?
I think for me, I mean, I graduated in May, so this kind of last year has been me traveling and not being in school and having people tell me what to do. So it's been a lot more of like a, I guess if I was to say how I've grown, it would be sort of taking control and being comfortable being more alone. Been through a relationship that's over, and getting comfortable with myself. I feel like that's probably where I've grown this year.
Nice stuff at 21 years old, 22, yeah.
I've taken, just off this list, I've taken a lot more responsibility for myself, and I've been blessed to find something that I love, that I'm pursuing, that is a lot easier to motivate myself for. And so as far as taking responsibility and stop, you know, with the blame game, which is something that I used to play. That's something that I think that I've been able to do this year.
Holding other people accountable for why you're unhappy. That's such an interesting thing. And that's what we're going to be going to next. Because next, and we will be taking your calls at 212-957-2729. But next, we want to open a discussion about another fascinating bit of research that came out of one of my scientific journals. And this has to do with what happens before we do. Can we take one call? Let's take one call. Okay, and this has to do with what happens with when your spouse influences your potential success.
Career success.
Career success.
Right.
What effect does your spouse have on your career success? That's what we're going to look at, but let's take a call first. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Armand.
Hi there. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Hi, Jana.
Well, I'm so thrilled to be calling and speaking with you, and your subject this morning is really important to me because it was just about a year ago that a friend of mine got me to start listening to your program. And this year, what's changed about me is I now feel safe enough to share my life with someone. I just left my apartment of 26 years to live with my long-term boyfriend. And so I've just kind of shifted into that. It's okay to share my life with someone.
Jana, what changed in you? What did you change besides you were listening to on radio? What did you change? Did you what shift took place in you? You're in one apartment for a long period of time. You really don't trust anybody, mm-hmm. obviously, right? Distrust was a part of your life. Then suddenly, and you've been with this guy for a long period of time, then suddenly you say, you know, enough resistance.
Mm-hmm. It was that I think I trusted myself enough to be okay with taking a leap, and if something happened where it didn't work out, I would be okay.
That's great. You trusted yourself.
Yeah.
enough. You got to believe that Jhana is going to be okay. So a lot of why most people distrust other people is because they don't trust themselves. They're afraid of what they will do, not afraid of what the other person will do to them.
Mm.
You know, you're afraid of what you could have become. You know, let me ask you, Jhana, is there an evil part of you?
Yes.
Good. Talk to me about that part.
Punishing.
Yeah,
you know, I can be very punishing to people, shut them out and be very cold.
Cold, shut them out, right? Don't let them in. And you could do that. You've done that already with your boyfriend, haven't you?
Yes.
He's gotten familiar with this, Jhana, the one that's like the Wicked Witch of the West?
Yes.
Right, is it the East or the West?
There's both.
There's both. Well, one was wicked and one wasn't.
Right.
He's got some Warlock of the West in him.
So and he's got Warlock of the West. So you know when he gets a certain way that you're just going to say, oh, he's in this spot. Mm-hmm. What way does he get?
He pretty much does about the same thing as I do. He kind of stonewalls me.
Stonewalls you. So when you see him stonewalling you, you say, boy, he's in that place. He's in that place where he's defending himself, and that's what he does.
Yeah.
Right?
And
now.
It's okay because I realize that he has wounds too.
Okay, and sometimes it's okay. You know when it's not okay? Hmm. It's not okay when you need a fight. When you're in the mood for having a fight, then you make it not okay.
Right.
So he will pick on you with your stonewalling and say, how could you withdraw like that? We're supposed to be there, blah, blah, blah. And you two will fight with each other when you need some energy exchange. This is a terrific time for a pillow fight. I strongly recommend between two stonewallers pillow fights. They're great. No words, just whack each other.
You know? Great.
And it really brings you a lot closer. So it sounds to me like you've got a very interesting adventure coming up. I'd like you to keep us posted. How did or what did listening to this program over the last year, and I'm not just looking for compliments, I'm looking for the technique. What did it give you that made you more able to cross over and take this risk?
Well, that, you know, anytime I was really in a fearful state, it was not true, you know, that it was constantly reminding me of the places in my life where I needed a little more work. Like I needed to take a look at why I felt the need to isolate, to protect myself, and where did that come from? And then to embrace it, you know, and examine it. And it actually helped me to be a lot more gentle with my family and some of my friends who, you know, do the same thing as me. It helped me to lessen my judgment of myself and of others.
Nice going, Jhana. Thank you very much for calling in.
You're very welcome.
You know, and I hope to speak to you next year.
Thank you so much.
As we learn. 212-957-2729. So the question becomes, how does our relationship that we have at home, possibly in our mates, affect the potential of our success or failure in business? Mostly we look at people and we say, oh, they're lazy, they're not doing this right, they're not doing that right, they're not doing this. And we look at the, like Ben says, you know, taking responsibility. You got to kind of take responsibility for your own failure and success. However, some of the research has come out that has kind of indicated that there are more dynamics at force here, and that the very existence of a mate in their own form of being and pathology can sometimes have a deep effect on you, which we're going to be able to talk about as soon as we get back from our break today. But right now, we are not going to miss a chance to talk to Joy, because Joy came in after Jhana. You know, so it's J-O-N and then it's J-O-Y. Hi, Joy. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Nice to speak with you.
Have we spoken before, Joy?
Yes.
I recognize your voice. Yes.
Exactly. Well, when it comes to spouses, I got into a position where my spouse almost made me lose my membership to my union, and I'm 1 year away from my pension. But I had gotten ill, and letters were coming in that, you know, I was about to lose it, and he just let that slip on by, and I almost lost my tenure and my membership and everything because of him.
Wow. Is he still your partner?
Legally, yes, but I left him over a year ago.
You left him a year ago because you said, no, I can't, I'm not safe with this guy.
Exactly.
Okay, so can you see over your lifetime that having somebody like him in your life, having somebody like him in your has affected over and over again your being, your choosing to make these decisions?
Well, we were together for a long time, and this person now is not the original person I married. So my choices were always sound choices up until he changed. And I feel as if I was able to deal with my illness as the person better than he was able to deal with it as the watcher,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And that's the best he could do, and you had to let him go.
Yeah.
I understand. So what's your next step, Joy?
My next step is I hope to start working again. My health has been pretty sound. I hope to start working again and get that year tenure. And, you know, a year could just be a day's work for me.
Uh-huh. Are you looking forward to your next relationship? Are you figuring that, or did you give up on him?
No. I'm open to anything. But most of all, I'm open to expanding my horizons. And after that, I feel that that right person will come.
So you're saying that you are going to be successful on your own, and that you're going to do it one way or another, and not that it requires somebody else to be there for you. And that's quite a difference.
Yeah. I feel like every man casts his own shadow, you know. I can do it by myself. I did it by myself before him. I can do it with him or after him. So it's good. It all worked out.
Wonderful, Joy. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you, Armand.
Nice to hear from
you.
Yes, same to you.
Bye-bye.
Same to you. So sometimes we feel like we're dependent on the other person who's with us. And sometimes we feel like we're not dependent, but we just need them to be okay. What's it like to be someone who is trying to be successful in your business and you have someone who's out of work at home who drinks a bottle of bourbon every day? What's it like? And you go to work and you know that your partner is there and they're just kind of unhappy. And what's it like? How does it affect your work? What does it do to you? Now, of course, we would look at it and say, of course, it's going to impair your success. Of course it is. Of course it's going to take your head away. I was proposing to Ben some of the questions that I would ask if I were going to hire someone to work with me. Like, I'm always looking to find new therapists to work with me. Always, because there are so few that are that really can do the job I'm talking about, the work that's the good work. So I was saying, well, who would I kind of take if I were going to be someone voting for a partner, looking for a partner? And I thought one of the things I would want to do is see where the person lives. By visiting them at home, I would learn so much about them. I wonder why during interviews people don't come in. Which reminds me of a joke. A man wants to buy a corporation. He goes to a corporation and he says, I'm going to buy. This is Gabby's joke. He says, I want to buy this corporation, but I want to speak to three people, the COO, the CMO, and the CFO. The COO is the chief operating officer, and he talks to the chief operating officer, and he says to him, hey, listen, tell me about this company. And the guy paints a perfect picture of what the company is like. And then at the end of the interview, the buyer says, and tell me, how much is 2 + 2? And the COO says 4. And then he goes to the next person, the CMO, the chief marketing officer, and he says to him, and can you tell me about this company? And the guy paints this beautiful, lavish picture. It's great. He says how wonderful it is. He does it all in color in his own mind. And then the guy says, that's really terrific. And can you tell me how much is 2 + 2? And he says, the answer is 4. And then he gets the chief financial officer, who is basically an accountant. And he says to the accountant guy, he says, can you tell me about this company? He breaks down everything detail by detail, but very, very dry. And he gets all the facts on the table, and the buyer says to him, well, and how much is 2 + 2? And the guy says, wait a minute. And he goes and he shuts the doors and he pulls down the blinds and he comes over to the guy who's asking the question, how much is 2 + 2? He says, anything you want it to be. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, oh, here's some wonderful music. And when we come back, we'll continue with our discussion.
George Benson with Affirmation. You're listening to The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM, WBAI New York. Armand DeMille here in the studio, and we're talking about how your relationships can affect your career success.
Hey, Joy, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is another Joy. Someone else with the name of Joy. Isn't that a coincidence?
I know. I heard it earlier. But thank you for taking my call. I heard your topic, and it's like related to what happened to me about relationships, you know?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I used to, like, I was like, I used to easily cry about stuff. And, you know, like how we women are. We get hurt. We don't say anything. We say, oh, it's okay. I'm okay. But you're taking it in. So after a while, you start to go down, you know? You feel like you can't take it anymore. So I...
Now, Joy, let me ask you something. Where were you born?
Me?
Yeah.
In the Philippines.
In the Philippines, right. Now, in the Philippines, did you ever have an opportunity when you felt like you couldn't take it anymore because you had a big family, didn't you?
Nah, I grew up. I was, you know, I was like in plenty, in the Philippines. But I came to New York because I got married. I came to New York, and I started to know life.
Let me ask you something. When you were in the Philippines,
When
you were in the Philippines, how many people, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Oh, we were a lot.
How many?
Ten.
Now, of the ten of you, what position were you in? Were you, like, in the bottom?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
I'm the only child. Because it's yours, mine, and ours. You know, my parents, they were both married, and then both died, and they met. 10 years later, they got married, you know? And they
Parents died, and then they met later?
Yeah, they had me.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. Your parents...
Oh. My father was married before, and his wife died. My mother was married before her husband died.
Okay, now back in those days when you were there, how was life in the Philippines? Was it happy or not happy?
It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Because my family, it's a big blessing that we were... huge family, but my father was very kind, very, you know, like a godly father. So
when you meet that, when you have that, and then you have a man, you meet a man who you marry, and he treats you badly.
It hurts.
At what point do you say, wait a minute, this is not the way it should be? At what point do you say, this is not the way it should be? Because you have something to compare it to. You know what a love like is like. I know a lot of people who have miserable childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just stay in miserable marriages because they think that's what love is about.
But that's a beautiful point, what you just brought up. Because I actually realized at the end, that's why I called you, so I could share that. I went through a lot because when I got married, of course, it's not going to be like my father, you know? Like, this is the man I married, so I have to be with this man. But, you know, it's like I had to, but of course, I was crying and this and that, like, very sensitive to everything. But I do not talk about it. I continued to be a mom because I got four kids. And now they're grown. I started to understand that it's not about following your thoughts with the man. I found peace when I started to follow my faith. So then that's where I changed. I started to understand that there's something better than following a person. Because when you're focused on the person where you're always getting hurt, you'll never stop getting hurt.
That's very wise of you. Joy, would you do me a favor? Would you send me an email with your email address on it? Because I have an article that I think you would find fascinating. So send it to me, armand@thepositivemind.com, and I will send you something back. I appreciate your calling in.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. God bless you.
It's a wonderful place.
Bye.
My son Booker married someone from the Philippines, and they have such a wonderful relationship, the way they kind of work together. It's a nice thing. So let's talk about this before we take another call. Let's talk about the consequences of having a relationship with somebody and how it can easily inhibit your parameters of success or your ability to succeed.
Could enhance them, too, at the same time. It just depends on the dynamic of the relationship. And in the article that we read, this is a research article, they named three main factors of how a relationship will affect someone's career or professional dynamic. The first one being time. So the division of time, the division of, say, household tasks that have to get done. Because we all only have so many hours in a day. And a couple that successfully divides household tasks, like paying the bills or maintaining a social calendar or certain chores, gives both partners more flexibility in their professional life. The other second factor would be emulation. So they said that we tend to emulate those around us, the people we spend the most time around. So if we take a partner and we choose a partner who has great traits like industriousness, punctuality, organization, we're more likely to emulate those traits, which in turn will make us better workers and better, more driven career-wise. And the converse is also true. If we take on a partner who's disorganized and who's not very industrious, we'll tend to emulate that.
Well, you know, you might just need that. Let's say you're somebody who's a CFO in a corporation, right? Let's say you're somebody who's just so tightly wound that you find somebody who is loose, and that adds to your spirit.
Maybe it balances you out.
You may not be as successful financially, but your life may be more successful because you feel better.
Sure.
You know, but it does have an effect. So therefore, if you have, very often you find depression in a family, and if depression's in a family, the taking care of that depression is important for both people. It's important not only for the person who's depressed, but for the other person as well, because it's going to affect them on every level possible.
Which ties directly into the third factor that they listed, which is overall satisfaction within the relationship. Mm-hmm. So we tend most days to start and end our day at home. And so our home life kind of bookends everything else that's happening in between. So if we're highly satisfied and comfortable and secure in our relationship, that's going to spill over into other factors, into other experiences in our life.
But it's very hard, you know. I mean, the ideal is we figure, Ben, that it's going to be a perfect thing at home. There is a couple of things that should be perfect at home, and I think one of the things that should be perfect at home is intimacy. You got to be intimate. Now, I don't just mean sex, because I think sex is good. But intimate. Intimate means I'm safe with you, I hold you, you hold me. And there should be a flesh contact between the two people. You shouldn't sleep separately. He shouldn't sleep on the couch while you watch television at night. You shouldn't have the baby sleeping between the two of you. You know what I mean? Intimacy is such a critical part of a person's feeling safe in this world. And if they don't have an intimate partner, but they have a non-intimate partner, then they're not really ever safe. Then they go into the world, and the part of them is just craving this connection. And sometimes they find a connection in the bottom of a bottle. You know, let me go have a few drinks, and I'll feel that kind of feeling inside. Maybe they find it by flirting with somebody else. Maybe they even find it from the gym. Whatever it is, none of it works. Because what's critically important is if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, make it intimate, or don't do it at all. Now, if you have children involved, and you wonder about how are we going to do this without having it, without, you know, having the children get involved in some way, how could I possibly leave my mate? Then work for the children, but create that intimacy. And if it requires seeing a counselor, seeing somebody, make it work. Because the future is dependent on it. You know, where you go, what your ancestors are going to come after you, you know, how it's going to all follow. It all stops with that collaboration of intimacy. Hey, we have another. Megan is on the line with us. Hi, Megan. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good, good, good. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear you. I just listening to a couple of the calls and kind of what you and Ben were just talking about. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. And it's an okay place. I'm trying to work through this, but not feeling safe in the world and not trusting myself is kind of where I'm at, because I am trying to deal with the relationships in my life and also start new business ventures. And I do find that I do get stuck in kind of the everyday things of running the household and that kind of thing, where I tend to identify too much with that role as opposed to trying to start the businesses. And I guess it's all like a snowball effect, all connected, where then I don't trust myself, my judgment, and my choices, and maybe I'm not good enough. So it's when you first talked to Joy, I believe, the first call, asking her the effect of your show on, I guess, the listeners in general. And a lot of times throughout the year, my jaw has just dropped because maybe you touched on something or identified a behavior or personality type that maybe I just couldn't wrap myself around it until I heard somebody speak it and kind of identify it. So that's just kind of your contribution, I guess, to me.
Megan, let me ask you something. If there were one thing in your life that you distrust about yourself now, and I think it's a wise thing to say I distrust myself, because people who are known to be compulsive, it's good. You know, do I trust myself around a bottle of liquor? Do I trust myself around a joint? Do I trust myself around doing something? Do I trust myself in a relationship that I just meet for the first time? It's good to be able to have the questions about yourself. Where do you distrust Megan?
I think my self-confidence. To know, I mean, I see my talents and abilities where they lie, but it's the trust that I can actually do it, you know, and not have a fear of maybe being put down or judged. But I think that's like a big part of it also.
Did you ever sing? Were you ever a singer?
I'm actually trying to get into songwriting. I love to sing, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. So could you, what do you love about singing?
I love just soulful voices, like gospel. I like all kinds of music, but I like the people that have just strong, powerful voices, and I know that's something that me, I want to be heard. I know there's something around that, but I just love people that have strong, confident voices.
Is there a particular piece of music that you've heard in either in the gospel world or in the strong world that kind of reflects the message that you're talking about?
Nothing comes to mind. I mean, it's just any genre. If I just hear something that just catches my ear, or doesn't have to be the lyrics, but just maybe the tone or the pitch of the voice.
Isn't there one you sing around the house?
No, I mean, I just wrote a holiday song for a songwriting contest, and it was just something that I just kind of threw together.
You wrote a holiday song for a songwriting contest?
Yeah.
I'm going to offer you something that nobody else who's written for that contest has had. We're going to play that on WBAI right now. You're going to have your song spread across the globe. It's going to go up through the airwaves. It's going to wind up in Siam. So let's do it right now. You can't back off this one. Let me hear your holiday song, whatever it is.
It's about 2 minutes.
Good. Go for it. Go for it. Turn down your radio in the background. You got to turn off your radio because we're going to get feedback. Hey, this is Megan giving us her self-created holiday song. Nobody else in the world has heard this except maybe somebody else. Let's hear it, Megan.
Okay. Word around town is you're feeling down on this holiday. No one cares. You've nothing to share. It's just another day. You have no joy, you can't buy no toys, what's the point anyway? Well, I am here to help you find a better way. It's not about the present beneath the Christmas tree, or cards, gifts, and wraps, and bows, or piling up the fallen snow. It's spending time with those who were close on this holiday. My heart is here to greet you, my dear, with love and open arms. On this holiday, I'm here to say I love you. Hmm. One more verse. Remember back when we were kids, laughing fun was all we did. Just 'cause we are older doesn't mean we grow much colder. So remember on this, on this holiday, my heart is here to greet you, my dear, with love and open arms. On this holiday, I'm here to say I love you.
Oh, sweet. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you know, you could go to our archives at any point and you could pull this song up and you could hear yourself on air. You could even make a little clip of it and send it around the world to everybody you know. You're beautiful. And thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you so much.
Sure. 212-957-2729. So one of the questions we have here is about this idea of the effect of having somebody. But keep in mind, people choose people in relationships to keep themselves anchored. Sometimes you wonder, why did you hook up to somebody who was so dependent on you or why did you hook up with somebody who, you know, needed you so much? It's almost like sometimes you're afraid to grow yourself. And one of the ways of limiting yourself from growing is to find somebody who kind of holds you back. Now, the interesting thing about the people you get who may be depressed or who hold you back is that one of the things that's interesting about it is that once you let them go, they no longer stay as sick. Very often, they are relieved of the problem of having to keep you grounded.
And suddenly, you're able to grow more.
Yeah,
than
you grow
before.
More on your own, and then they're fine with the next person. They don't do the same thing.
Right. It's amazing. I mean, some people may repeat a pattern, though, wouldn't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And others may not.
Right.
Hey, one more call. Listen to this. All women today. Alyssa, hi. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there, Alyssa. It's Armand DeMille.
Oh, hi, Mr. DeMille.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I can hear you very well.
Good. Talk to me. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Can you tell me how you relate to today's show?
Well, I'm actually calling because earlier on you mentioned how has your show touched someone. And what I used to listen to your show many years ago, and it's not that it wasn't interesting. Maybe I was not at the place where I could appreciate you. But now I find what I notice has changed in your show is that you radiate like a love for the person on the other line. You don't know them. You don't know anything about them. And you're so non-judgmental in the way you approach them when they call on the other line that I think that really rings through to the other person. So I'm not calling because I want to, as you say, just give you a compliment. I think that is so incredibly important to someone calling in or otherwise.
Elisa, though, aren't you the same way?
Am I the same way?
Yes.
Well, I try to be the same way. I think it's very, very important to meet someone where they are because we're all on a journey, you know, and we all do the best we can do.
Well, wait, you're talking about we. You've been on a journey for a long period of time, right?
I've been on a journey for a very long time.
And you've had some really rough spots, right?
Very, very
rough. Now, I want to tell you something, Elisa. I hear the wounded child in you. I hear it, and I hear these things from the past that kind of carry you around, and I hear that you've taken this burden, and you're ready to carry it or lay it down, but you just sound like you've been through some really rough times, and you're about to make it a little different.
Yeah. I've been through very rough times, and I think they were rough because of my perception of them and how, what I thought I wanted, and I guess that changed. That has changed.
Well, you certainly sound like you're about to do a new start, and we could say goodbye to a lot of the things from the past.
Yeah.
You know?
The past is in the past, and, you know, the excitement of life and the beauty of life is the moving forward.
Beautiful.
Being who you are. As a new day unfolds and the new you that comes, I think that's what's exciting to me. So why bother with what happened before?
Thank you, Elisa. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy New Year. Oh, and one other thing. I too, in the little time I've listened, I have seen a big growth in the two gentlemen who host with you.
Yes, they've changed, eh?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I can definitely thank the positive mind for a big change in my life.
In their conversation, in their responses, everything.
Good. Good for you to see that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be back tomorrow for a New Year's Eve edition, 1 p.m., same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.
Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Thanks to all of you. Be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m.